So, Avalon's Finest, you wake up the next morning, having arrived late at Nethys Gerol, with the hags close on your heels, the skies darkening with their clouds and a storm front rolling in over the city. However, they did not dare follow you into the city, and you seem to be safe. You made your way immediately to the Guild of Arms, the place that you believed would be able to help you in this sudden, urgent need to go north to reach Highwatch Abbey and make sure that everything there was good. You brought your news to Dran and Hasselhoff and Sarah, who are all waiting, and had some conversation before Dran offered to allow some of you to sleep the night in his office, as it was shielded from scrying. And the rest of you made your way back to the foxhole, passing Gunny as he slept, once again having forgotten and left the front door unlocked. And so you awake the next morning. The clouds seem to have dissipated. It's a sunny day, if not a little bit cold. It seems like maybe a bit of a touch of winter's chill is in the air. A bit of autumn racing towards the first snow. But the sky is clear, the sun is shining, and what do you do?
Randy will, as soon as possible, do his best to relay the message he got about the members of the Abbey making their way to whatever the fort's name is. I can't remember things.
Drakehall.
Yes, the Drakehall.
And that's good, I think.
I haven't done it yet. Whenever.
Okay, so Min and Jack and Cabal had all stayed at the Guild of Arms. So the rest of you stayed at the foxhole, and you can kind of just be making your way downstairs. You notice that once again the place is somewhat quiet. Gunny is there at the front desk. It doesn't look like there's a whole lot of folks in. Looking for breakfast right now. But he sees you come in, or start to come down, and he would greet you as you come. Say,
"All right, there. Didn't see you all come back in. How'd you sleep? Now, I kept your rooms for you, just in case you might be coming back to the foxhole. I know it's not the only place in town, but I do appreciate loyalty. So, what can I do for you?"
Randy is going to go ahead and... Was Randy staying at the foxhole? I can't remember.
All of you had taken rooms at the foxhole.
Randy's going to go ahead and pay for his room. Like, he's going to go ahead and lay down the gold for the night that he stayed there.
Okay. Well... Right. Well, gold then. Let me see what I've got for change.
And he's going to start going through and counting... And he gives you back about 4 silver. So a room for one night is 6 silver.
You don't need to worry about change right now. Randy will go ahead and lay down another gold and say, "Yeah, I think we might be. I'm not sure, but I think we might be staying here for a while. So this should take care of my room for a little while. Don't worry about the change."
All right, then, I'll put it on your retainer. And, will your friends also be wanting to hold their rooms? I'm willing to do it.
I guess that's up to them.
Rico will step up and just silently match what Randy had put down and nod at the proprietor.
All right, well...
Just pay for one night.
Philia just pays for one night?
Yep.
Thank you. Well, you're all welcome to have a seat over there, and let me get the apron out. I can get you something
to drink
if you like.
Do you happen to know where our friend Alex is in the city?
Alex.
The leader.
Right.
Ruble.
Right. The other short fellow, like yourself. Yes. Has the tail. Ruble. Yes. I haven't seen him over here, though. I did. No, I haven't seen him. There was another Ruble I saw, but no, it wasn't him. Is he not with you?
No. But he should be somewhere in the city. We'll find him.
Randy, after, you know, kind of the party gets together and everything like that, he's going to be wanting to make plans to head north as soon as possible.
All right, and for sake of keeping things moving along, the rest of you kind of make your way downstairs, and you gather up in the lobby great room of the Foxhole, and you can make your plans as to where you want to go. For story's sake, you do still need to make a stop to sell off your goods, but that can happen on the way to anywhere else.
I really like to connect with Alex, so my thoughts are to ask at the library or Saint's Own.
Saint's Own might be a good place to stop anyway, just to kind of catch up how things are going there. Is Min with us right now?
No, she's at the... I guess we should check in with her, so...
Yeah, let's head over to the Guild of Arms, I guess.
All right, I'm taking my horse.
Is it still the evening?
Morning.
Okay, I missed the changeover. Okay, Ricky will go with y'all.
Okay. You guys head out. And I know that 91 is having some issues with his mumble, but we'll just... keep everyone together. Is there anybody that didn't want to go? I know Min and Jack are over at the Guild of Arms. So the rest of you head out on your way. And as you're going, you go to St. Tone, or are you going to the Guild of Arms?
Guild of Arms with horses.
Yes. Okay. Randy will be riding Pepper.
All right, that's fine. And you could have easily gotten the horses last night when you left the Guild of Arms to ride over to the Foxhole. And Gunny has his own little livery on the side where you could stable them, so that was fine. It's not big enough to put your cart in, but it's big enough for the miniature horses for sure. So you ride over or walk over, as the case may be, just kind of down over... and then up another street and over one, and you're at the Guild of Arms.
Randy will knock on the door.
Okay, as you knock on the door, you notice that the door is still closed. But inside, Min and Jack, both of you, are waking up. It's morning time. There's light outside. You can see the city is starting to come to life. The Penny Road is starting to get busy with travelers, those walking to the market to get fresh food, going to the near bakeries, that sort of thing, looking for those necessary daily items, as well as businessmen that are making their rounds and starting into another long day of work. But as you awake in the office of Dran, Dran is not present in the office. However, as you start to explore a little bit, if you were to poke your head out, you would remember that there is a staircase in the back of the Guild of Arms that goes up to the second floor. And shortly after sunrise, Dran would make his way downstairs, but he would not go into his office until you all open the door, just to give you a bit of privacy. So, Min and Jack, what do you do?
What time did we go to bed last night?
You got enough rest, so you got your full rest. You don't have to worry about that, but I would say it was late.
And like around midnight?
Stressed. Everyone was pretty tired.
Okay. I was just curious if men would have had time to get up early and start working on stuff.
It was probably about midnight when you guys actually went to sleep.
Okay. In that case, men would awaken and check on Cabal first. Hey, good morning, Cabal. Did you sleep well?
Cabal is laying there, and at first you think she's asleep, but her eyes are open, and she kind of turns her head slightly to acknowledge that you're talking to her, and she nods her head and begins to sit up and put the cushions back to order that she had been sleeping on. So, but she doesn't say anything.
Min sits up and looks at her and says, do you want to stay here? We plan on heading north very soon. This place, you seem to be safe. Though we are running straight back into danger. What do you wish to do?
There's a look of indecision on her face. Part of her bristles at the idea that, you know, she might not want to run into danger, that, you know, she's strong, she's an orc, and you know, there is no weakness in her, that, you know, fear doesn't control her. But at the same time, there is a very definite strike of fear through her heart whenever she thinks about the hags that seems so close on your heels the night before. And she sits quiet almost too long before responding and saying, I don't know. I need to think about it.
Then take your time. Don't know. Unless things change, we may be leaving this evening.
And she raises her eyes to meet your gaze, and they're, again, they have steeled. They're strong and sure. And she says very matter-of-factly, she says, you will have your answer.
Min nods and goes to awaken Jack.
Oh, morning, Min.
Morning, Jack.
What time is it?
Around 8 in the morning. The sun is just rising.
Oh. New day, then. Things to do, I suppose.
There always is.
Quite the way of things. And she'll proceed to gently wake up Bass.
Okay. You hear a kind of a muffled thud, thud, thud on the front door. Oh. And then the voice of Dran from out in the main room answers it and says, well, hold on there just a minute. And you hear the door unbarring, and then Dran responds as he opens the door to the rest of the party and says, well done. Welcome back to the Guild of Arms. Come on in. Your friends are still asleep, I'm afraid.
We'll just wait for them out here, if that's no problem.
Well, there's no reason to freeze.
Well, out in the lobby. Sorry, I didn't mean out in the... Yeah, I appreciate... Yeah, we're definitely coming in.
I thought so. These mornings are gonna get colder and colder. Now, you lot, you from this area or down in southern Korthalia?
I'm from Telesiril myself.
Ah, the coast. It's a beautiful city, Telesiril. Haven't been there for a few years, but the last time I was there, some stories I could tell you about that, but that was when the big storm came through. Don't know, you were probably there for that one. The big hurricane that came in and struck the coast.
Oh yeah, Irma, I remember. Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh yeah, changed everything. Well, that was the last time I was down there, just doing a bit of a job with a local office in the city, making sure they get back up to speed. But it's a nice place to be. Definitely doesn't get as cold as up here in the north.
Just out of curiosity, which local office were you a part of?
Guild of Arms.
Oh,
what else? We've got offices in almost all of the major cities. So, Telesiril being one of the closest, and obviously we've got an office there.
Randy racks his brain quickly to see if his particular goblin's guild had any run-ins with the Guild of Arms while he was down there.
Probably. Guild of Arms is a pretty well-known adventuring office. They basically hire on adventurers as contractors, and then they work as a central, almost like a day labor sort of institution, where people bring their job or their need to them, and then they hook them up with an adventurer, somebody that can do the job, a contractor. So, yeah, they hire out as guards, they hire out as mercenaries, they hire out as bounty hunters. They tend to stay on the legal side of things, on the lawful side of things. They don't hire out to do crimes.
Right.
But I'm sure that a time or two, your bunch was fighting against Guild of Arms people.
Randy distinctly remembers a moment where he was running across rooftops after having looted a store during the effects of the hurricane. So yeah, that Guild of Arms probably is something he's had a run in a couple times.
Well, Dran brings you inside. He invites you to have a seat. You can see where his own pipe is still smoking. It's a little bit in a tray on one of the tables. He goes over to the fireplace and starts tossing another log on the small fire that he's been working on getting lit since he came downstairs. And Min and Jack, you hear all of this commotion starting in the front room. What do you do?
I believe it is time to go meet the rest of our friends.
I believe so.
Then Min will open the door to go see the rest of their party.
Jack will follow, but she'll see if Cabal is going to come out as well.
Cabal looks like she wasn't going to leave, but she would leave if you guys want her to.
She won't press. She'll just follow Min out.
Okay, then Cabal stays in the room, and she's just kind of sitting on one of the couches, looking out one of the office windows.
Jack will actually lean back with her.
Yeah, she's almost more staring off into nothingness, but happens to be looking out a window while she's doing it.
Morning, okay. Min. Morning, Jack.
Morning, Randy.
Good morning.
So, what's the plan?
Prepare, then move forward.
Yeah.
We have a lot of things that we need to offload, a lot of things that we need to pick up. And let's actually take at least a few minutes to sit and think and decide what we are going to do once we arrive up north. They know of the danger. They are currently going to safety. Are we going to act as bodyguards escorting them up, or what?
Randy had actually not told them that yet.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah. Well, actually, I meant to tell you, Solas paid me another visit last night. Seems like Ari and the members of the Temple of Light are actually headed down to Dracol. So that actually kind of changes things and makes things a little less complicated.
Indeed. In that case, perhaps we could take a bit more time and take care of a few more immediate issues. And you see she actually looks out the window towards the, in the direction of the gate of the city. We are still being hunted, and I would like to ensure that when we go north to protect others, that we do not bring danger with us. Does this make sense?
Saying we should do some hunting?
Min gives a little bit of a wry smile and says, I think it is time to turn the tables a bit.
Randy looks at his wrist and the blade hidden underneath. He's like, yeah, looks about that time.
Min chuckles. Though she turns to the rest of the group and says, your thoughts, though. I would hate to make a unilateral decision. The hags, they want us dead. They have the means to do so if they catch us unawares or in a unfortunate circumstance while we are distracted with other more important matters. I would hate for one of us to be grabbed and dragged off by one of these evil women.
Question, should we maybe try to sell some of the stuff that we got along the way first?
Or? Oh, most definitely.
Okay,
we need to prepare for this fight as well.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Also, I was curious maybe if you wanted to stop by Saint's Own, see how your advertising campaign has been going.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Perfect. Maybe doing a little bit of trading, and then Saint's Own, and then hunting time.
Indeed.
Randy looks at the rest of the group and says, thoughts?
Honestly, it is probably for the best. I do agree that we need to get rid of the hags before, well, they get rid of us. They would definitely be a problem hindering if we do...
We just teleport somewhere, they won't know where, will they?
They have been able to see us from afar before.
Yeah.
I don't trust those hags. Billy, you did mention something about finding Alex? Like, wouldn't he still be... I don't know where he is. I don't know what would happen with him. What happened with him. I don't know where he would be.
And we sent him back with the ship to make sure that everyone would be okay. Beyond that, I do not know. It would be his decision. Perhaps he became, a river pirate. That would be nice.
He so would do that. Probably cooking half-hearted dishes for that poor crew. But, so, trade some goods, visit the coffee shop, maybe find a bard. And almost half-heartedly, he turns towards Ruka. He says, well, what about you? Do you have any thoughts?
I'm not going to be able to help much in any case right now. I'll go with what you decide.
Randy shrugs. All right. So, let's get rid of this junk.
And chuckles and says, quite a few people would disagree with you with the fact that it's junk, but yes, I agree. We need to offload at least a bit of it.
I Agreed.
Are we going to rings and things?
Rings and... Oh, I forgot about Rings and Things. I love that place.
I know. I believe most of us, well, at least I, opened up a line of credit there.
Oh, she'll be so happy to see us.
Yeah, sure. Happy. Definitely happy.
I mean, we have things to sell, so maybe we'll be able to settle some credit.
Good thing I never took out any long credit. Marcus will come out of the door to his room. He's got a rucksack with what haul he can fit in it.
Yes, I know. Ram daisies and all that.
Financial peace of mind. Can't put a price on that.
This is true. You never thought a Minotaur would give such good financial advice, but hey, you never know.
Might just be the dragon in me looking out for my own wealth, but he'll heft it up on his shoulder and kind of scan the room. So, what's the destination foremost?
I think we're headed to Rings and Things.
Well, suppose that'll work. Plenty of things to sell there.
And rings. So Rings and Things it is? Out of character?
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, it's the only shop we know.
Are we going to leave Cabal here while we shop?
Well, Bass is with her, so she wouldn't be alone.
And I think she would prefer to be alone to take some time to think. I mean, she was very recently orphaned.
All right. Okay, so are you guys headed to Rings and Things?
We are.
Indeed.
Okay. You're going to Rings and Things first. So you make your way out of the Guild of Arms, and as you step out onto the Penny Road, the road is steadily becoming more and more busy as more businesses open, more shops here and there. Places are opening their shutters and pushing back the curtains in their windows and setting out the open signs. And bakers are putting out the baskets with the fresh bread, just as kind of teasers and samples of what they have inside. But you make your way up the street and around the corner and all the way until you see the sign for Rings and Things. As you enter the kind of narrow door and pass in, you come face to face with all of the tight, narrow aisles, the crowded shelves full of random little baubles, and the smell of herbs and incense. And you see, sitting over, and you see, sitting over on the side, behind her desk, you see Ava. And she smiles and says,
"Welcome to Rings and Things. Hello and welcome back, my friends."
Ava! We missed you!
You are not dead. This is a good thing. So what can I do for you?
We're not? Well, that is a good thing.
Well, either you're not dead or we're all dead. I mean, I guess that could happen, but I didn't think it would go that way.
It's all relative.
And she gives you a wink.
Randy chuckles. It's all relative. I guess our money's still good regardless, right?
As long as I can pick it up. I mean, if I'm ethereal, then it's not going to help me at all. But let me... Yep, I can still pick it up, so it's good. Well, what can I do for you?
We have some good news for you, Ava. And Randy will kind of gesture over to Barkus, who has the bag of stuff to sell.
Yes. Quite all from our adventure. Not sure that you'd be the best fence for these weapons, but there's plenty of armor, some jewelry here, some scrolls, perhaps? Someone you might recommend selling those to?
Let me see this. And she kind of pushes your hands aside and starts to rifle through the bags and starts pulling random things out. She's like, oh, this is very nice, but I don't think I can sell this, but it is very nice, and tosses it on the side and starts looking at other things, nearly falls in to the sack as she's leaning over into it.
Randy leans over to the Barkus. Is that a bag of holding?
Not really. Just an old duffel.
Weird.
She continues kind of pulling things out and looking at them and saying, well, this is very nice. I like this. What does this do? And she uncorks a potion and takes a sniff and then kind of dips her little finger in and tastes it. It's like, no, I don't think I can sell that. And she starts looking through and ultimately she pulls some things aside and says, this will be very good. I can definitely buy these things from you. But these other things, I would take them over to the blacksmith. He might be able to do something with the weapons.
Yes, return business. It sounds good. And Barkus will start putting things back in the bag very carefully.
And for purposes of this, we'll say that you get everything sold. So you've got your 5,000 gold added to your total if you want to buy anything. So she does, she kind of looks with that eye and says, is there anything that you wanted to buy?
Min actually steps up and says, actually, there are a few things that I wish to buy. Though I wanted to see if you were sorry, go ahead.
That is excellent. I am very glad that you want to buy some things. Otherwise, I would not make any money today. And this stuff is nice, and I could probably sell it tomorrow for as much as I bought it from you for. But it's good to sell things too. So what would you like?
Actually, there are a few things from the south that I'm not sure if you have, but it is worth asking anyway.
I have lots of things. What is it?
The first would be the same fungal stun vials that I purchased from you last time. I have not quite run out, but I am running quite low, and I would like to get a few more. At least four more.
And she kind of purses her lips a little bit and she points at you and says, I remember that. You bought all of my stock out. All of it. And that is not easy to get. That stuff has to come all the way from the south. But I did get in a small shipment. It's only one small case and it has five in it. But I have sold one of them. So it's not a full case.
I think that might work. Yes, I think that might work.
Good. Then I will sell them to you.
And she takes it out and she shows you. And it's just kind of a wooden box. And inside it has... it's kind of made with inserts. And you can see where there were five inserts or five... impressions where the vials would sit. One vial is missing. Yes. And I don't remember what those are called to look up their value.
I think it's Chelish Fungal Stun Vial. It's under Alchemical Creations. I can give you a direct link shortly. Do you prefer Hangouts or
Mumble? Yeah, Hangouts will work better.
And Hangouts, then. If you go to that link and just click, type in Control F and then Stun, you'll be able to find it pretty quickly. Along with that, there are a few other things that I'd like to purchase, though I will go through it quickly because I believe there are other people who wish to purchase things. If you have any more of those doses of silver flakes, those were very handy before.
Silver flakes. Just a moment. Let me see. Do you have a list? I think I even remember you had a list last time. Or maybe you should have had a list because it was a lot of things you were asking about.
I believe I did have a list before. And you see she actually pulls out a thin sheet of paper and she says, I can just write down what I would like to get.
Excellent. Write it down and I will find these things for you.
Okay. And she proceeds to make her way over to the side and begins writing it down. And I'll send you links to each of the things that I have on my list just so you can see it directly on Hangouts.
That will save me a lot of time. So thank you.
Is the silver dust alchemical reagent as well?
Yep, it's just under silver.
Gotcha. Oh, I see. Never mind, it's fine. You don't have to link anything.
Oh, cool.
I've awesome. Got this.
She gathers all of the things that you wanted and puts them into kind of a pile on the counter in front of you. And she's like, let's see, the fungal stun vials, the silver dust, the dowsing rod. I'm really glad you're buying it because it's been here forever and nobody buys these things anymore. But you can have it. And the reference material for the occult. Very interesting. All right.
Randy gives odd glance at Min at the mention of the occult book.
All of this together is a good 480 gold.
Min thinks and says, perhaps we could go with 450 gold and I could throw in a throw in some information about yourself that you may not have known. A free aura reading, perhaps?
Well, perhaps I would give you the discount, but you did not pass the background check last time. So Sorry, you might want to get that checked out. Something is not right. But, you know, it's not for me to say. But if you want to throw in an aura reading, that would be nice. And I could maybe bring it down to 460 gold.
Min thinks this is not... That will work. Yes, that will work.
All right, go ahead and mark that off. And we can pass that, or you can do the aura reading if you want.
If you want to, I can do it. Though I know other people would like to play as well.
Let's say that that Min does it quickly, and we'll say that you do it. So go ahead and mark the 460 gold off, and you have the things that you're looking for. And she does look to the rest of you. Says,
now, what about the rest of you? Is there something that you are wanting? I can get you almost anything. If I don't have it, I will probably be able to order it.
Out of character, what was the name of the Assassin's Guild again in Southlands?
Gressai.
Oh yeah, down in the south, it was the Rasai Assassins. But they are a group that is gone to legend and myth, much like the Dolwraith Knights in the north. The Rasai Assassins are believed to be long gone.
Randy kind of half-jokingly says, you wouldn't happen to have an extra Rasai Hidden Blade, would you?
Let me see. Is that... Do you have one to look at? Because I have not actually seen one. I don't think I have.
Yeah, Randy will unsheath the Hidden Blade.
Oh, wow. That is really dangerous. Have you ever worried about cutting yourself with that? I mean, it's like right next to your arm and you have big arteries in there.
Yeah, I almost cut off my ring finger one time. It was pretty crazy.
That would be so awesome looking, though.
Oh, it really would.
Can you imagine?
I have, lots of times.
But it would probably hurt really bad to do
probably
it, so I would not suggest it.
It probably would help with the effectiveness of it, too. Ring finger kind of gets in the way. And it's on my right hand, so I'm not really ever going to really use that thing.
Barkus will take one of the axes from his sheath. And kind of just raise an eyebrow.
Maybe if we can find some anesthetic or something first.
I could probably get you some anesthetic if you want to buy it.
Out of character, if I did this, would I be able to get the plus one?
If you did this, I would give you weapon focus. Yes.
What?
I think that qualifies as being very dedicated to this weapon.
Suffer for your art.
Randy will... How about this? Out of character. If I ever roll a natural one while using... on an attack roll while using the Hidden Blade... I lose my middle finger and get weapon focus?
If you ever roll a natural one with it, you very well could lose your ring finger.
Ring finger, yeah, that's what I meant.
As to whether or not you'd get anything for accidentally sacrificing for your weapon, that's just something else to think about entirely.
Okay. Randy's kind of lost some thought.
Drawing the axe actually reminded Barkus of something, too. You don't have an extra scabbard of vigor lying around here, do you?
I might. Just a moment and I will check, okay? But let me see. I have not seen a blade like this before. I am sorry. This is very old. Where did you find it?
Somebody dropped in and gave it to me.
It is a very good gift. If they drop in again, you should be really nice to them and maybe they'll give you another one.
They probably won't be dropping in anytime soon.
Well, I suppose you get lucky sometimes, right?
Yeah, really lucky.
She turns back to look at Barkus and says, "Let me go see about this scabbard."
All right. Yes, I do have it. I have two of them. One is blue and the other one is red.
Burke looks back and forth a couple of times and he'll gesture at the blue one.
All right. That is my favorite as well. Good choice.
And she will sell it to you for 2,000 gold.
If you wanted, you could do a background check and get store credits.
No, thank you.
It's really cool. You get like this little card, and then you can use it, and you get a percentage off the costs.
I'm well aware of how this works.
There's not even any annual fees on this one.
He'll take out two platinum pieces, plunk them down on the counter. That is 2009.
A platinum is worth 10 gold.
Oh, my bad. Okay, then, well, that's a lot to carry around.
The platinum, so if you have more platinum, it'd be very nice if you gave it to me.
I don't remember, do we have that many pieces of platinum? I'm not sure if we do or not.
We only have like 23 pieces of platinum.
Okay, well, I'll take out one more. And then he'll finish the rest in, I guess if we're just doing these actions in gold and pretending that the coinage doesn't actually exist, it's whatever.
All right, so 2,000 gold worth, whether it's paid with platinum or gold, either of those are acceptable, and you have another scabbard of vigor.
Beautiful.
One more thing, Quicksilver. Minwood also asked for just various magical materials to craft stuff with.
Well, I have lots of magical materials, so if you want to buy some, then you could get it. But if you want like a starter's kit, like a craft kit sort of thing?
Quick question. Men does have the craft wondrous items feat. How would you actually like to go about doing that? I know in my games I just treat it as them actually breaking down the gold and using the gold powder as arcane runes. But how would you like it to work in your game?
Essentially, you would need to buy the item, which goes into, because you get to make the thing for half cost.
Yes.
But you still have to pay for half of it. So essentially in that cost, what I would gather is that you have to buy the sword or bracers or whatever it is as mastercrafted, and then you enchant it. And so in the enchanting, you're going to use various magical elements, probably related to whatever spell you're enchanting into it. So mm-hmm. whatever the component for that spell is, just for flavor, that sort of thing. But I don't necessarily need you to carry around, you know, 300 pieces of wire just in case or something like that. You know, you don't need to have all of it listed out. You can just pay for it in gold and essentially have that. So if you want that, she does go back and she produces, she kind of pulls out a small wooden chest. It looks almost like a coin chest. So it's kind of heavy, a little bit bulky, but she pulls it out and she sets it on the counter and says, "I think that you will like this." And she opens up the lid and it's like a sewing box. When she opens the lid, there are all these little drawers and shelves that kind of fold out. And then she opens the sides and more fold out. And in each one, she's like, "Now you see, here is where you have the horse hair, and over here is the boar's hair. They're not the same. They're for different spells, so don't get them mixed up. And if it all falls out, then you might enchant something wrong. So be very careful." And then you have the teeth are all in this level here. Keeps it very organized. You have all of the metal regents are up here. Those are a lot more expensive to replace, so use them gently. And essentially, she would sell it to you, but the cost of this is going to come out of the things that you make later. So I won't make you remove any gold off your total.
Okay.
Since essentially this is just a role play flavor device.
Okay. I was going to send you the items I intended to create soon. The very first one is Band of Intellect, because, you know, caster.
Okay, and that's fine. And just so long as you take necessary days to craft stuff, you'll be fine.
Yep. Min really wanted to do so on the boat when they were sailing back, but she needed to keep up the illusion.
Okay, so everybody has done their shopping. Is there anyone else that wants to do some shopping?
Is there a magic-related bookstore around?
There is, actually. Let me see if I can pull it up.
Also, Randy would like to pull Barkus aside. Away from those with weaker constitutions. But we don't have to do it immediately.
To the GM, she's looking to do research on some stuff. You can probably guess what she's looking for.
Okay, that's fine. Let me just look really quick and see what I can find. Okay, so there is, and actually Barkus has already been to the Inkwell, which is a local bookshop. There is also Kensington's Own, which is another, he's just a merchant, but he might have some books. There is, what else? You could go to the Chronicle if you're looking to do actual research. That's the library, right?
Presumably the library wouldn't let books walk out of the city.
Correct. Yeah, if you want to buy it, then you're going to have to either commission a copy to be made from the Chronicle, or you're going to have to go hope that it's in one of these smaller bookstores. The Chronicle does have its own books, kind of bookshop attached to it, gift shop, and you could go there, but that's generally where people commission copies to be made of what they want.
Okay, and both of the other bookshops are just like general bookstores, or would either of them tend to have more arcane type things?
Kensington's Own is not a bookstore. He does have books there. But the Inkwell, while it's a smaller bookshop, it is very well regarded in those circles. It tends to have older books, and there's a great love for old treasures. So arcane books could well be found there.
Okay. So is the group sticking together for all of this, or have some people split to different shops?
Marcus has already made his way out of rings and things. He is put off by Ava.
Randy's going to follow him to the blacksmith as well.
I'm going to ask Ava if she knows where my cousin is.
Your cousin? You mean the other one? Alex. That's his name, yes? Alex? I have seen him several times. He's come in here looking for things. He has a job now and is making lots of money, which is good because then he comes here and he's bought a few things. But he's working at the Arcanium, the big school. He's up there teaching now. At least he says he's teaching. I don't know. He might be a janitor, but he makes money, so it's good.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you for buying stuff. Bye. Come back when you have money.
All right. And so you guys make your way out. Barkus and Randy are making their way over to the blacksmith, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Ruka is going to mention that I need to go find some books. I'll meet up with you all afterwards.
Maybe we should kind of determine a location to all meet up.
Saint Soon?
What about that Church of Light? Weren't we going to go up there?
How about Saint Soon?
Oh yeah, we need to see what's happening with Saint Soon. I can visit the Temple of Light later.
I thought you were going to go there first thing in the morning.
Randy never said that.
That's what I thought.
No, oh, wait. Randy says, we'll go there after Saint Zone.
All right. Bruka starts to head off.
Randy will then explain to Philia that was before he actually got information from Solas that of where where Ari was. So there's really no need to go to the Temple of Light right now.
Okay. I'm going to go find Alex.
Want to meet back at Saint Zone?
Sure.
All right.
Okay, so you guys split up to go different directions. Let's go ahead and visit the blacksmith real quick. So, Barkus and Randy, you make your way over to Lehman's.
Mm-hmm. Barkus will make his way in, take his enormous, well, not enormous, it's just not as full as it once was, but still pretty full bag of weapons and armor and such. And he'll set it off to the side. Hey, anyone here today?
Yeah, they're always here. And Lehman comes out. He was in the back. It looks like he was checking on his stock in the back. But he says, good morning. And what can I do for you this morning?
Don't know if you remember, he prepared me this fine suit of Mithril Kiko. I've brought some some spoils from my recent excursion. Wanted to see what I could get for them.
Farewell. And yes, I do always recognize my work. Let me see. And he comes over to look at us. You have been adventuring. Looks like it has gone good for you. This is good work. That is a big bow.
Bit too
did you
big
get
even
it off of giant, perhaps?
Well, let's just say it's quite a bit too large for me to handle. Not too large for me to take care of. He's just going to kind of run with it and let it lie.
Randy will roll his eyes.
Very well. That is your business. I can give you... And he looks it over and he gives you a total, which is a part of that 5,000 that I told you earlier.
So that is
the total for all of this. Just roleplay wise, he settles that with you and pulls those things aside. Seems content with it and says, "Is there anything else that you wanted?"
I don't know if you remember, but last time I came in here, I came in asking if you had any kind of information regarding a hidden blade of any kind. I don't know if maybe you got any new information, or maybe somebody came in with an interesting trade or anything like that.
Well, I have not seen a hidden blade like the one that you have, but I did have a traveler that came up from the south, and he had a very similar design to his sword, and I noticed it. The blade was very similar to yours, and I asked him about it. He said that he found it in a market, and... did not want to say much else about it, but I got the idea that he was holding you back. A lot of information about it. So I don't know. He's definitely from the south. He was one of those type, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nomad people. Not very many of them that make their way up here. But he seemed kind of shifty to me. So anyway, I didn't have anything else to do with him. He had his... armor worked on and went on his way, but that was about 4 days ago. 4 days. I asked where he was going, but he did not say. Again, very shifty sort of fellow, but I have not seen any more blades like yours other than that one.
Ah, okay. Also, I was wondering if me and my friend Barkus here could possibly use your forge privately for a minute, and he actually brings out some gold.
Well, I don't mind letting you use it for the gold, but understand that I am reticent to let anyone use my forge without my supervision. Do you want to do your own work?
Yeah, I've kind of got some weapon improvement that I really kind of want to keep private, and was wondering if maybe and he brings out a little bit more gold. If you could, it would just take a minute.
He reaches over and he scoops it up, and you can go ahead and take about 6 pieces of gold off of your total. He says, "Very well, I will give you, how much time do you need? You need, 4 hours, 6 hours?
It shouldn't take any more than about 10 minutes.
That is not weapon improvement. But, whatever, you have paid for it, so go and, engrave or whatever it is you're going to do. I will just sort my stock, but understand that if you break something, or if I hear some loud noises, I will come in, and you will owe me for whatever you break."
Okay, we'll try not to break anything of yours. Okay.
Right.
Randy,
anyway, and he steps aside and he gives you access to his forge.
All right, Bacchus. Thinking that I want to get rid of the ring finger on this hand.
You were serious?
I think it might actually help. Like, I was thinking about it, and like I was kind of going through the motions, and I think it's just only getting in the way of me being able to stab. I've missed so many times before. I think this might be the problem.
Well, do you have anything to staunch the bleeding or do anything with it once it's gone? I mean, just cutting off a finger all of a sudden it's delicate work.
Well,
I believe I could do it, but
well, that's why I got the forge. I figured we could cauterize the wound as soon as you cut it off, and I'll just stick the finger in my pocket.
I must say, I'm not sure this is a grand idea.
It's one of my ideas ever great, but just trust me on this one. I think I might be onto something here. And Randy is like looking at his finger, like with the ring finger down, and like gesturing and
roll
aiming.
Persuasion.
Okay.
Am I allowed to do that?
Yes, you are. And if you want, you can roll a sense motive against it.
Yeah, I think that's the fairest thing to do here.
Yep.
So, Randy, you could either roll diplomacy or bluff for this.
Bluff?
Well, I got bad news. Bark has got a natural 20.
Okay.
On his sense motive check. He's a...
What is that total?
Let's see. Good question. Double check that number. 24. I mean,
okay.
It's crit, but, you know, 24.
All right. I will roll a bluff check. Bacchus, it's not even going to hurt. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Ah, 16. Shoot.
I'm sorry, my friend. I confident as I am in my own strength, I don't know that kind of delicate work is the sort of thing I could undertake. All the same, though, you do have a fine hand axe I passed off to you, so if you... I can't keep you from doing whatever it is you choose to do. And we should move along. I'm in the...
Fine.
I'm in the frame of mind for an Ebony Elizabeth.
Randy will... Randy's gonna go ahead and attempt to chop. He's gonna grab his hand axe and he's gonna go toward the forge. He's gonna attempt to chop off his own ring finger and cauterize the root. He's cauterized
so,
the wound with the prepared with one of the heated sticks in the forge.
All right. So I need you to make an attack roll. Against your flat-footed at disadvantage.
Wait. Didn't think you'd actually do it crazy happily. And Marcus will walk over. And he will...
Wait, hold on. And Randy's gonna like take a piece of his cloak and just stick it in his mouth in case he can't muffle the screams.
Here, set your whole hand right there.
All right.
And just point the one. Think yes. Lay it flat.
Yeah. All right. Like that. Okay.
All right. He'll draw his +2 hand axe out of his new scabbard of vigor with a +5 bonus on it. And you know what might be smart? Is there any way to knock Randy unconscious, or is he allergic to, or does something make him faint? Maybe if he was unconscious, it'd be easier. He would be prone, wouldn't he?
Well, you could try to knock him out, but he is a fellow adventurer. You think that
yeah,
could take a little bit of work.
That's true.
Randy actually is... He's kind of just blinded by this idea. He's really just stuck on it, so he really doesn't mind being conscious for it. He might fall unconscious from the pain, who knows, but...
Well, being unconscious after I cut isn't going to help me do a better job. Fine. Hold still. And, here goes nothing.
Okay, so I need you to make an attack roll. Just a straight attack roll against Randy's flat-footed.
Okay. That's going to be the roll plus... it's a normal melee attack roll with the little hand axe, right?
Correct. It is at a minus 4.
Oh.
Because it's targeting a smaller... it's targeting a very specific part. Because you don't want to just, like... you don't want to hit him between the wrist and the knuckles. You know? Yeah. You want to hit very precisely. So it's at a minus 4.
Alright, well... see what we've got here. Ooh! Alright, well... that would be a total 26.
Okay, roll damage.
Yeah, max damage. That's going to be a total 12.
All right. Randy, you take 12 points of damage.
Do you need me to do a stealth roll to muffle the scream?
I need you to do a fortitude save.
Ah. That is a 13.
All right. You choke the scream, but it still comes, and you're like, you're biting hard into your cloak. It hurts really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And your finger flopped off. It's on the floor.
Woo!
it's gone.
Well,
and you are bleeding, hold
still,
by the way.
Hold still.
So,
Barkus
take
grabs
another
the,
2
poker.
Points of damage.
He grabs a poker from the fire. There's something. Something. And he puts it right there at the stump.
Okay. Now, Barkus, I need you to go ahead and roll me 2d6.
You got it. Ooh, 5 and 5 is 10.
Take 10 points of burn damage.
Ow. Oh, man. Okay. Maybe burn my hand, you crazy tiny...
oh, no. I meant that Randy takes 10 points of burn damage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Barkus didn't take burn damage.
Okay, cool. So,
I mean, unless you grabbed it by the hot end.
No. I mean, he didn't, I don't think.
Okay.
There's only one person doing something stupid right now.
Well, I don't know. This seems pretty ill-advised all the same. Barkus probably should know better.
All right. So you have successfully done the job. As you hold your hand, you cradle it. The intense pain. By the way, anything that you use, that's your primary hand, correct?
No.
Randy.
Let me go back to my, I want to make sure, let me go back to, this is important, so let me go ahead, my, wiki real quick, and just make sure.
So, Bard's Lore, guys, it's great.
Yeah, shout out to the, Bard's Lore, great website.
Yeah.
It has all of the episodes for the entire campaign on it. So you can go back and you can listen to all of those. So thanks again to Lorian, who is our awesome editor-in-chief. Yeah, sponsoring it with Onaru and I don't know. Steel, are you a part of all that?
It is technically running on Lukeo's server, so yeah.
Okay, so Steel and Onaru and Lorian, our
beneficent pantheon.
All right, I found it. It is on his right hand. I don't believe I've ever indicated that he was right-handed, but there's no reason why he wouldn't be, so...
I was under the impression that Randy was a southpaw for some reason.
Well, it would be important if you think about how he's going to use it, or whatever. In any case, you get disadvantage with that hand currently.
Currently?
Because, yeah, currently. Okay. So, it will heal and it will recover, but currently... Right now, you have disadvantage any time that you use that hand.
Like, as far as an attack or anything?
As far as if you're doing a skill with that hand, if you're doing an attack with that hand, you have disadvantage. So, that's the cost of getting a new tattoo, my friend.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It'll be worth it. I mean, it's worth the extra point of attack damage. Or attack.
So, all right. So
in Randy's eyes, anyway.
As you guys clean up, you hear from behind you,
that must be the most odd thing that I've ever seen in this forge.
Well,
you're messed up. And he just turns. There's a bit of a grin on his face. But Lehman just turns and walks away. So, as you guys are left to clean up your mess, make sure you take your finger with you, please, and make your way to join the others at Saint's Own. As you're doing this, Philia, you are on your way to the Arcanium to go find Alex. You made your way almost all the way up to the second level. When, Alex, you are actually on your way down to stop in at Saint's Own and get a drink for the morning, and you see Philia. She's just ridden past you on Alex, the miniature horse.
Where's that book? Okay. A history of the Shanti Empire. Fake. They don't know anything. Let's see. Now, a little bit of history about... what is this? What is this? The journey to across the world. There's nothing on the other side of the world. Good heavens, Philia!
Is that you, Alex?
Philia! Turn around. Oh my goodness, it's good to see you. Get down here.
And get out and give him a hug.
He returns the hug vigorously. Oh, so good to see you, lass. Wait, does that mean everyone else is here too?
Well, most everyone.
Oh, excellent. Oh, wonderful. He looks at his books, looks at her, and says, well, I got a bit of time. Can I treat you to some coffee?
Sure. Actually, the rest of them are going to meet up.
Wonderful! Oh, it'll be so good to see everyone again. Well, come on. Saint Zone has only gotten better since you've been gone, and it's no easy feast, let me tell you.
You've been playing?
Playing? He looks over at you. Oh, all the instruments. I've kind of taken a little bit of a break from that. As you can see, and he gestures with his stack of books, I've been keeping a bit busy, sticking around the Arcanium a lot, mostly teaching, but doing a bit of research also. It's fascinating to learn the history of this area, but even more fascinating, well, you know what? As long as everyone's going to be together, I'll tell you a little bit about my new idea.
Which is?
Oh, I'll tell you once everyone gets together. It might be a new way of fighting our little dragon problem.
How are you doing?
I keep it on a brave face. It's been difficult. It's been quite difficult.
Well, we didn't exactly succeed in our mission, and about what happened on the way there.
Oh, that's... That's not good. So you never did give back that hammer?
Mm-hmm. No.
Well.
And poor Ruka.
Yes. He looks very, very somber right now. Philia, I... No, never mind. It's annoying. So, Alex looks quite uncomfortable if he's trying to find something to fill the awkward silence. How's my namesake?
Well, he's kind of... He wasn't pleased that I was gone so long. And he says you didn't come to visit him enough.
I was busy, he gestures to the books again. Do you know how much time it takes to teach? Everybody thinks that, oh, it's such an easy job. All you do is go in, spout off a bunch of nonsense, and you go out. No, you don't see the hours and hours of preparation and the late nights you stay up working on things. And then there's other research besides, and you gotta stick on top of things. And they give you three different kinds of classes. And I don't mean three different sections of the same thing. I mean three different ones all together, and then that's a section of those, and it's just lots of busy work.
I see.
People don't respect teaching these days. No, they respect cooking. I've actually gotten a small side job cooking in their cafeteria. Abysmal. Maybe I can recruit Randall. His cooking will be better than theirs.
You're cooking too?
He gives a kind of a blank stare at you. Lass, did you ever know a time when I wasn't cooking?
Celia kind of chuckles.
He puts an arm around her. Ah, it's good to see you again, cousin.
Well, I don't know if I'm cut out for this adventuring stuff.
He kind of said, you really think that?
I shrug.
To be honest, lass, I had to leave. It became too much for me. I wish I could have stayed. A lot of me wishes to still be out there, but I couldn't. And I know I can't. Not now. But, well, the most frustrating thing was leaving you out there, lass. I know you're traveling with good people who want to take care of you, but, I mean, not being able to look out for you, Ophelia, well, it hurt. It hurt deep inside, if you understand me.
I think I do.
Well, yes. I guess all that to say that if you ever feel that, you know, it's just too much for you in your veteran days, and if you feel... I worry about you, lass. I worry about you a lot. And if you ever feel like you're done, then please, come join me here.
Well... I know Dad would want me to go to the Arcanium or some other school, but... Blah.
of course. Well, I will not tell you that you shouldn't get an education. It's always beneficial, and he punctuates each syllable with a wave of his finger. But not all education is simply book learning. I hear there's a stable or two around here that could use an experienced hand like yours with their horses.
Yep. Or we could go out on the road again and not try to get into trouble.
He shudders just a little bit. Maybe. Maybe. But, I did just start the teaching job here, and, it kind of be poor form for me to leave, well, right after the beginning.
Suppose that's true.
Besides, It is actually kind of nice to have you on minds that I can mold. People who are, you know, more than willing to listen to the knowledge I'm willing to give them. People that aren't Randall.
You always did like talking. At this rate, my dad might think you're respectable.
He cocks his head. You know what? That's true. They might... Then he wrinkles his nose. Poor wee kitten lass. This is me we're talking about. Nope, they'll never think that.
Celia chuckles again.
After all, I'm still the strange Rupel who wanders out into the unknown and goes and lives in the land of the humans and carries one of those strange firearms by his side and researches dragons. What kind of respectability is that? Even if he teaches history. You know the history I teach? Bashanti. Bashanti. A dead culture that we know next to nothing about, and yet they wanted me to start a class on it. How do you start a class when you have 5 books on the subject, half of which you know aren't true?
Well, maybe Min will take you on a research trip or something. Maybe the Arcanium will sponsor it.
They're a bit tight words, but it's possible. We'll see. Speaking of Min, let's hurry up and get over to Saint's Zone. I have a little tab I've got to settle with Saint Ain't anyway, and it'll be very good to see everyone.
Alright. You guys make your way back towards Saint's Own. Ruka, you were on your way to go do research. Did you want to go to Saint's Own first, or were you headed off to the Chronicle? Or the bookstore?
The bookstore. She was headed over there and then going to meet afterwards at Saint's Own.
Okay, so you make your way over. You dodge around some of the side roads off of the Penny Road. And finally, you see a signboard that's, you know, just hanging out off of the building. There's a large window to the bookstore, so it's very well lit. But then the door is set next to the large window. It's humble, but nice. And it just simply says the Inkwell on it. As you step inside, the little bell above the door jingles as the door pushes open, and you immediately are hit with the smell of books, paper, and old books, that kind of aged, good smell that you get when you step into a place where you know that there are books here that have been around for a while. And there's a hardwood floor. You kind of have to step up a little bit to come up to the level of the shop. So as you walk on the hardwood, it kind of clicks with a hollow sound under your shoes until you hit where there are large area rugs that are spread out. Seems like there are some tables that are set in the room. It's not a huge space, but there's 2 tables that you could sit at to peruse and look over books, and there are some various books that are still scattered around. And then from floor to ceiling, there's bookcases all the way around this room. And the bookcases are pretty much full of books. And you see a couple people are in here. They look like they're probably students at the Arcanium that are in here doing some research. And then you can see one Corthalian woman, a young woman by the look of her, the glasses, her hair is just kind of pulled back neatly, but simply, and she's actually currently putting books back on the shelves and straightening things, organizing things, seems to have everything down to a system.
As Ruka steps in and feels the atmosphere, sees the style of the plays, for the first time in several days, she actually relaxes a little bit. This is a atmosphere she's fairly comfortable in, liking to read a lot. So she's gonna look around a bit. Are sections labeled, or is everything just...
They are not labeled, but as you begin to look around and start to wonder where to start, the young woman kind of turns back towards you and says,
good morning. Welcome to the Inkwell. I'm Anna. What are you looking for?
And she also nods a good morning to Jack, who came with Ruka.
I'm not even necessarily certain how to classify what I'm looking for. Looking for some older books of people from other realms. Do you know of anything like that here?
Well, I have some books on the angelic planes and the Seraph. They do have quite a storied past with Quetzalia, so that's not uncommon. Is that what you're looking for? Then go ahead and do a sense motive check.
Okay. Nine.
Okay. She has books on the angelic planes and the Seraph.
Is that what you're looking for?
I would like to see some of those, yes. I'm not certain what I'm looking for is of the Celestial. Do you have any of the other planes?
Is this for a class? Are you students?
Personal project.
Oh, all right. So I do have the ones about the angelic planes, but there are other planes as well. And she kind of gives you a look. They're not as common, but I may have some things about those, if that would pique your interest.
Can I take a look at them, please?
And she is going to do a sense motive on you. That's pretty high. So she kind of looks at both of you for a moment and then looks around at the couple of students that seem engrossed in their books that they're taking notes out of and working on. And she motions for you to come back with her. And she actually opens a door in the back wall, just kind of a small door that leads back into a narrow hallway. But just a little bit kitty corner off of that hallway is another room. And she says,
all right, well, so I didn't want to say anything out there because some planes are not as popular to have books about, and the Arcanium gets a little bit heavy-handed about knowing where some things are. But I do have some books about the lower planes. That's what you're asking about, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yes.
I can show you them, but I want you to know that one of them is somewhat dangerous. A couple of them they're just books. They're the work of researchers and historians who have gathered their information together. But one of the books is a religious text, and it has information in it, but it
has been said to be potentially dangerous. Please understand that I don't have that book, if anyone asks.
She nods. I understand. It's a risk I'm willing to take.
All right. And she goes over to a chest, takes several stacks of books off of it, opens it, and looks through, and go ahead and do a perception check.
Crit fumble.
Okay, yeah, she goes into it, and she pulls out two books for you, sets them down.
These are the ones by the historians. This one was actually a dwarvish historian. Pretty good. His details are not all exactly right, but it's a good overview. And then this one here is actually... this one is actually a Bashanti text. It's... comes from... well, very far to the south, but... it's really only a rough translation of the original work, but it has some more ideas, and I think they're a lot closer. So there's that. And as for the third one, and she motions to a back bookcase where you can see there is a curtain that is kind of drawn over one of the shelves.
You will find it there. It's the only one on that shelf. And then she leaves the room.
Rika thanks her as she leaves and will pick up the other two books, because hearing Bashanti catches her attention for various reasons. And then she'll go pull the curtain.
Okay. So you pull the curtain back. And there is a rather thick-looking tome with a metal clasp that closes over the front, and there is actually a lock on it. However, the key to that lock is actually tied to a ribbon, and it dangles off of the book. So the book is currently locked, and it is kind of leaned back, sort of a display setting. You do see runes on the front of the book. However, unless you speak Infernal, you do not know what they mean.
That is not one of the ones she recognizes, but I'm going to make a linguistics check to see if she can at least identify the language.
Yes, you can.
21?
Okay, yeah, you recognize that it is the same language as the burns in Grin Celdic's Hall.
Oh, I missed that. I thought that was something else. Okay. Yeah, so seeing the link between the two, she will set down the two books on an empty space on the shelf and then gingerly pick up the book and turn it over a couple times, looking at the outside before pulling the key and putting it into the lock.
Ruka?
Yes?
What is it you're looking for?
It's difficult to explain.
She'll give you a look. Difficult to explain.
Rather dangerous for anyone else that knows. there's a look in her eyes of a different type of pain than what she's been showing from losing Corazon.
Should I actually let you read that book? She'll gesture to the one in your hands.
GM question. From a caster perspective and a character that has been very much a studier of books, is there a danger to the person reading such a book?
What kind of a check would you like to do to get an answer to that question?
I guess a knowledge arcana.
Okay. Okay, you know that books can be magical. You also know that there is the potential for intelligent magical items. And you know that things can be enchanted with spells. There can be magical traps, things of that nature. You also know that magic is inherently dangerous in that it can become addicting, and power can become addicting, and knowledge can become addicting. And when you open old tomes of incalculable power, there is a risk that it can begin to unsettle the mind of the reader if they are not ready for it.
Okay, can she do detect magic and spellcraft to glean what she can before attempting to open it?
Yes, you can.
So, detect magic, does it ping?
Yes. The book is very magical. You sense quite a bit of necromancy in it, as well as enchantment. You sense some evocation as well.
Twenty-three spellcraft on, I think that would only identify whatever the strongest is.
All right, so you do not detect any traps. You don't get a trap off of it. What you do detect is, trying to figure that out, because it's not so much a particular spell that you detect, it's more of an aura that you're detecting. And you're detecting a chaotic, evil aura, but especially evil, even more than chaotic.
She grimaces a bit, and it would have been obvious that she was scanning the book as she was taking a few seconds before answering.
What was your spellcraft again?
23.
Okay, I will also add that you got the sense that the book responded to your query when you did the detect magic. It seemed like there was a minor pushback.
Oh, fine. What am I about to get into? Okay. So, she takes a few seconds before responding and quietly says, "What we're attempting to repel will require require much more than what we can currently do. It's a risk I need to take.
Could you repeat that? I only caught like half of that.
She said what we are trying to repel requires more than what we are capable of. It is a risk I need to take.
We? And repel what?
She looks around warily. And she's having trouble responding. Like, she doesn't know what to say. I can't really say. It could be listening anywhere. There's a quiver to her voice.
Ruka, Jack will step forward and she'll lay a hand on your shoulder. Are you in danger of something?
It's not me, at least not yet.
Then who?
She'll look up and actually look straight into Jack's eyes. I believe you already know.
Jack will take a breath. Don't know if I'm 100% sure.
I didn't catch that last part.
I'm not 100% sure of that.
Ruka will silently mouth that Elmendreda.
Yeah, she'll give a confirming nod. Are you really certain that you want to read that, though? She'll look down at the book again, just double-checking, confirming.
It could provide a vital piece to the puzzle. And it, there seems to be a link between them. I have to do something. I can't just stand by.
Of course not. But I don't know if I could stand by and let you read And she'll tap the book. Something like that.
She'll give a little bit of a wry smile. If something bad happens, then you can stop it.
I could at least try.
It's a risk I want to take.
Very well, then. And, Ruka, if and when you can tell me what's going on, please do.
I wish I could now, but yes, when the time comes.
Course, and I suppose I should just stop asking questions, I suppose.
She gives another mostly insincere looking smile, takes a glance toward the door just to see if to confirm nobody else is around.
Yeah, when Anna left, she closed the door behind her. So you guys are alone. You will note that the room is kind of small, and it does have a high window, but the window is small. It would be too small to try to fit through or anything like that. There's just the one door into this room.
Okay. Is there a table and chair?
There is one table and two chairs. Although one of the chairs has a bunch of books stacked in it.
She'll step over, set the book on the table, sit down, and unlock the book.
Jack's Jack will step closer and just kind of hover a little bit, like right at her shoulder. She's not going to read the book or anything.
Okay, then I need a will save from both of you. You feel an oppressive fear that seems to rise against you. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, so Jack, you didn't feel anything particular. Ruka, you feel like an oppressive fear. Almost like a snarling dog. Snapping at the gate as you reach for the handle sort of thing. And momentarily you want to pull your hand back and just drop the key back to dangle. But you push through that fear and you turn the key. And as you do, the lock clunk and opens. And as it slips off to the side, you can now open the book. Begin to open it and look at the pages. And as you look at the pages, you realize that the pages are in Infernal. And that there seem to be notes written here and there that are in common. Written in common. Some of the notes are actually written in Elvish, interestingly enough. Do you know Elvish?
Both of them.
So, you look, you see a few notes. They don't seem to make sense. They seem to be in a bit of a shorthand. Notes like, for the ritual, the coming of the dark god, summoning from beyond the gates. You see one mention that says something about Kalmara, which you recognize that word because Min uses that word whenever she is triggering her veil of mist, the haunting mist. But you look, the vast majority of it, you can't understand at all. Do you keep looking?
Not at this point. She will close it back and relock it, and then look back over her shoulder at Jack.
Ruka, go ahead and do me another will save.
Okay.
And do this one at disadvantage.
Well, the first one was a crit fumble.
You were going to stop, but you feel drawn, compelled to keep looking. And as you continue to flip pages, more of it is understandable. You can start to read more of it as you continue to flip pages. You begin, you understand more of the notes on the side. It seems like this book was previously owned, if not written by. It does seem to be a journal of some sort, but it seems like the owner was involved with a cult that was at work trying to reach into the lower planes and interact with the powers that exist there for the purpose of bringing something back, something that was lost. Again, talking about Kalmara, the house of the dark god, reaching beyond the gates and opening the doors once again. These sorts of things. You're not really sure what all of it means, but it sounds pretty foreboding. And yet, you don't feel like you're not afraid of it. You don't feel afraid of it. It almost seems tantalizing, like it's got you curious.
Okay, so starting to understand more of it, like being able to read the main text, or just the notes are coming together?
The notes are coming together, although you're getting the feeling that the main text seems to be right on the edge. You almost feel like you can understand it. Meanwhile, Jack, she's flipping through these pages, and you're watching as Ruka has gone from flipping a couple of pages and looking like she doesn't understand it, which, Jack, you don't understand Infernal either, do you?
Nope.
Okay, and you're not really reading it anyway. You're just more watching Ruka. But you see, well, let's see what you see. So go ahead and do a sense motive check. Okay, yeah, you see her look go from concern and wary carefulness to curiosity and openness, interest, to the point now where she seems like she is becoming engrossed in the book.
Put a hand on her shoulder. Ruka,
Is she able to respond?
Go ahead and give me another will save at disadvantage. Okay, you hear her voice, but it's like it's far away, echoing a little bit. But you can hear somebody you know, or you used to know, is calling you. Where were you at? You were doing something, and they were with you, but you're not really sure. And as you continue to look, you realize that they did succeed in reaching certain beings in the lower planes. And pacts were made with some of these beings. And there is talk of different types of demons, particularly. A few devils were reached out to, but that seemed a little more treacherous than the demons, because they tended to be more powerful, and their contracts are much more potent than the demons. And so you notice there are several different types that are talked about. And one of them that you read about seems very familiar in how it operates. Basically, what's called a shadow demon, that essentially is very much a specialist when it comes to possession. Sorry. Did you hear the part about the shadow demon, reading about that?
Yeah, got up to there, and she would, since this was what she was looking for, starts to focus in on that.
Okay, at this point you can read all of it, and you begin to feel the warmth of a hand on your shoulder. Oh, Jack's hand is on your left shoulder, but it's like you feel the warmth of another hand, much warmer, on your right shoulder, snaking down a little bit onto your back. And you can feel some breath on your neck. Go ahead and give me another will save. And Jack, are you doing anything? She's not responding to your voice.
I'm going to say her name one more time, and then I'm going to use, protection from evil, see if that would help.
Okay, you cast Protection of Evil on Ruka?
Yeah.
Okay, and as you do, there's a flare of cool white fire, Ruka. It feels like the flashes in your peripheral from the side where Jack is, and you feel that presence get pushed back, and there's a hiss in defiance and anger. And suddenly you realize that you've gone through probably about 40 pages in this tome, and you can no longer read any of it. And you feel kind of dirty because of what you've been reading and because of the hold it was starting to take over your mind. Yet, you remember what you read.
But she's back to herself?
Yes, you're back to yourself. And that presence that you began to feel kind of reaching up out of the book, kind of wrapping itself around you like that warm hand on your shoulder, is gone completely.
I'm going to take the book from her and walk it back up.
Okay, does Ruka resist that?
Well, as soon as she snapped back to her senses, her eyes went wide, and her first motion would have been to slam the book shut and attempt to relock it.
Okay, and due to the protection from evil, you have no problem with that at all. Jack, when you reach out to try to help with the lock, you feel like a searing burn on your fingers as you go to touch the lock. You look, and there's no burn on your hands, but you could have sworn it felt like you just touched a red hot iron.
once the lock is set, she collapses back into the chair with a hand up to her face and just sits there for several seconds. And then she'll comment that the information is there. That is, that's what we need to know, but I didn't expect it to call one of them here. That she's just muttering to herself, semi-incoherently.
Are you okay, though?
I can't say necessarily okay, but the hold is gone.
Good. Anything lingering? Anything at all? You aren't responding.
Whatever you did at the end pushed it away. What was that?
Protection spell.
She looks up. That might really help.
Help with what? Reading the book again.
Didn't you feel it?
Definitely not like you, though. She'll look down at her hands. Trying to reach for the book, it felt like it was burning, but there's nothing there.
And that's what we're dealing with, and so much worse. I need to take this book. I don't know how, but the information it holds needs to come out, but not without much preparation.
So what did you glean from it? A lot, a little?
Go ahead and do a knowledge religion check.
My dice hate me tonight. 13.
Okay. You feel like you gained a lot in that you feel like you know what you're dealing with a little bit more now, and even a little bit of knowledge is a lot compared to what you had going with before. Outside of session, I will work with you over Hangouts to give you whatever information you would have gleaned specifically. But yeah, I would say that you feel like you got a lot.
Compared to what we did know, an immense amount. But it's still not enough.
She looks like she doesn't want to take the book. And she's wary of it. And then she'll look over at the other two that you'd set aside earlier. Or should we at least go over those for now?
We should probably meet up with the others by this point.
That's true.
I was looking for books to buy so we could take them with us. Otherwise, I would have gone to the library. She'll start to stand up. She's shaking a little bit just from the whole experience, but she stands up, gathers the other two books, and will put the third in a satchel on her side. Unless Jack tries to stop her.
She looks like she wants to, but she doesn't say anything. She'll step over and just take your arm and make sure that, like, you can walk properly. You're not going to, like, fall over or anything.
She'll accept the assistance and will head out front to the counter to pay for the books.
Okay, as you come out the door, you do pass over a thread, a silver thread, at the base of the door. And abruptly meeting you in that hallway, just coming from the other side, very quickly, the same young woman, Anna, meets you in the hall and stops and says,
Oh, did you get what you were looking for?
She nods. Yes, I'm ready to check out.
Yes. Which book did you want to buy?
She'll hold up the two and say all of them.
Ah, right. Then,
and she looks around real quick and she grabs some butcher paper real quick and takes the two books and wraps them and then says, she looks around.
The third book, did you leave it in the room?
No. I wish to take that one as well.
If I may, then.
And she puts her hands out for it.
In the main room?
No, in the hallway.
So, Ruka looks up and down the hall to make sure no one else is there first.
Yeah, it's a short, narrow hallway. It's just the three of you. So she takes the book and she very quickly, deftly wraps it with the same butcher paper. And then holding the stack of three books, she leads you back out into the front room and says,
some wonderful finds that you have here. I'm sure that they will help your personal studies as you continue looking into the heavens and the higher planes. I wish that I had more that I could offer you. But these will have to do. Of course, if I hear anything else, I'll let you know. Let's see. For this one.
And she starts tabulating. And between the two regular books, the total only comes to about 10 gold for the two of them. Mostly that's one of the two of them. The one that's actually a translation of a Bashanti book is worth much more than the Dwarvish book.
Understandable.
So that's 10 gold for those two. The third book, however, is going to cost you 150 gold.
And she will pay it without question.
And she doesn't state out loud how much that one is. It says,
very well. Good luck with your research.
And she will let you walk out.
She thanks her and then turns to leave and head toward Saint's Island.
Okay, you go. And you have your books. You guys make it back to Saint's. You'll get there just a little bit late, the rest of you. You've all started to kind of gather up, and Philia and Alex come walking through the door.
Alex, it is good to see you. How are you feeling?
Well, Mendrea. Well, it's, I'm doing all right. Yes, I'm doing all right.
I can understand. You seem significantly better than you did before.
Yes, well, you know, staying active and moving on, it does that for you. Though, I don't know if you heard, I got a new job teaching over at the Arcanium. That brings a whole new set of adventures.
I can only imagine. Can't really... Well, you know. Speak a word and change their minds.
Well, they're not as pig-headed as Randall, but, you know, it's still a lot of work.
Ruka, I don't think...
He'll walk over and put a hand on Ruka's shoulder. I heard about Corazon. It was the most unfortunate. He was a good man.
Ruka's technically not there yet.
Never mind, he will not do that.
Paul is here at this point.
Not yet. Randy and Barkus and Min.
Randy? Min.
Yeah, Min is there.
Randy will be in the corner, kind of holding his hand, waiting for Alex to show... Not Alex, but Jack to show up and have a conversation with her. But he's... I lost a good amount of hit points there, so I am basically at half health right now, so Randy is, like, visibly weakened right now.
Alex will go up to Barkus and reach up as high as he can to shake his hand. Barkus, I see you doing well. Have you been making good use of that razor I left you?
Yes, indeed. I appreciate it. Very much a gift, and he'll shake the hand heartily as well. Excuse me. How are you feeling these days?
Oh, it's going pretty well. It turns out that I don't mind the slow life so much. Though I do miss y'all quite a bit. And trying to drill history into the heads of the freshmen, it's a bit difficult. They're all there to learn about magic and about exciting things and about adventures and trying to get them to understand a dead culture. It's not so much no exciting.
There's one thing a captain knows. If he doesn't know where he's from, he won't know where he's going. That history is an important thing. Stick with it. But he will. He'll definitely kind of rummage around, see if he can't find the razor there, and produce it from that. Just say, you know, here it is, still holding on to it.
Good. I'm glad that you get excellent use out of it. He scratches his own chin. Obviously, it'll do you much better than it does me. But that I had more students like with a mindset of yours, most of them just can't understand why studying Bashanti has any relevance to today. And he leans forward. Between you and me, I don't totally disagree with them. But it pays the bills.
Min gives a joking kick in his direction. Very slow and easily dodged.
Watch it, Elmandrea.
Yes, if I did, next time I might actually hit my target.
Ha ha, very funny. And then he will mosey on over to where Randy is. He will stare at Randy for a moment, and then his eyes start welling up, and he dashes forward and grabs him in the huge hug, and then backs off. All right, I'm okay. Randall, it's good to see you, brother. Good heavens! Randall, what happened to your hand?
Randy will accept that hug very willingly. He had been distracted by his hand the whole time and had not noticed Alex coming in. The pain was pretty great, and as soon as he felt Alex's embrace, he immediately returned the embrace, and he was just kind of in shock of everything going on at the same time. What? Alex, you're okay. What are you doing here?
What am I doing here? I live here. What are you doing here? And what in the world happened to your middle finger?
Never mind that. Well, you were a lizard the last time we saw you.
What is this never mind that business? Oh, well, obviously I'm not a lizard. But what happened to that hand of yours, Randy? Don't tell me that you let some... Why is only one finger missing? You were clumsy, weren't you? You tripped over something, and something ate it.
We had an accident at the blacksmith. Something happened. We were trying to improve one of Barkus's weapons. It's a whole long story. I don't really feel like getting into it right now.
And you were blacksmithing.
You went to the blacksmith and decided to immediately do your own work.
Randall, you have many talents.
Yeah, you need a roll of bluff for that one.
A roll of bluff for it?
Yeah, go ahead and bluff that one.
Yep. I guess Min would recognize the missing middle finger if she knew anything about the assassin. That is a 18.
Yeah, I didn't roll high on the sense motive. He believes you.
Min got a 26, though. She is suspicious.
Randall, you have many talents, but smithin ain't one of them. Alright, look, hold still. And he will actually grab the hand. It's probably painful, but then he'll mutter something in some strange language. And Randy gets 18 hit points back.
What kind of idiot that's not a blacksmith would be trying to do his own tools?
A halfling.
I mean, can't you just pay some guy to do it for you?
I was curious.
Alex rolls his eyes.
Did Min say anything?
Min has not said anything. She is waiting to say things later.
Well, at least you're learning. That's something.
It was just, there's a lot of stuff happening, and I mean, there was a lot of sharp objects there, and you guys know how clumsy I can be. It just kind of happened, okay?
Keep to using sharp objects in the kitchen, Randall.
What?
I'm not sure you should even have those anymore.
Can we all not focus on the accident that happened? Alex is back.
Randy accidentally cut off the middle finger of his right hand.
Ring finger, but okay. What?
How do you accidentally do that?
When you're Randy... Well, that just explains a lot of things, actually.
I mean, yes. But Randy, how do you accidentally cut off a finger? Just one. Not multiple ones. No. Just one?
Let's just be happy it's just the one, okay?
Are you okay? Do you need me to look at it?
Actually, yeah, I would really appreciate that.
All right. She will look over his hand, and is it obvious that they burned it closed?
Yes.
She'll look up at you. Seriously?
We have to stop the bleeding somehow. Barkus isn't a healer.
You could have literally found someone.
I'm looking at someone.
Yes.
And we found them.
Hours after.
Not bleeding.
I'm gonna smack the back of your head.
Can that be the lay on hands?
Sure.
I took care of it a little bit, but you're probably gonna be better suited for it than I am.
Yes. Yeah, so smack on the back of the head, you get it back. Another 18 points.
That brings me Thank you. And Randy is feeling a lot better now.
Oh, you idiot. Don't do that again.
I only have so many other fingers, so I don't think it should happen again. Probably not.
You better not.
Alex is stroking his beard. Huh. Seems as someone took up my job when I was gone.
Well, actually, a lot of people have filled the position.
What are you talking about?
My tormentors.
Not the tormentors, Randall. The people who keep you from doing stupid things. And he'll kick the chair that Randy is sitting in.
Randy will, dodge or whatever he needs to do.
This Alex will turn over to Jack. It's, Jacqueline, isn't it?
No. Jacquard, but Jack Jacquard. Is fine.
My apologies. If I remember things correct, it seems that I owe you a debt that I don't think I'll ever be able to repay, lass. Thank you.
No, don't worry about it. That's what I'm here for, to help other people. So you don't owe me anything.
Well, nonetheless, I'm quite grateful. If it weren't for you, I'd still be bathing in the sun and eating bugs. Every now and then, I still get a hankering for a fly. It's unsettling.
Well, hopefully that should go away soon.
Probably explains a lot about his cooking.
I mean, it hasn't really been, it really hasn't been that long since we were here.
Speaking of which, what brings you all here?
Well, as you know, we failed our mission, but there's a threat to someone that Randy knows.
Yeah, I think I told you about Ari, right?
I remember hearing something about this. He was part of that whatever church it is that you go to.
Yeah, he's a priest at the Temple of Light. Anyways, he's currently at Hightower right now, or High Watch, and the smoke giant that we were going after is kind of going to the north toward High Watch and Drake Hall. So I'm trying to get there as soon as possible. We're trying to get there as soon as possible.
Huh. Well, sounds like a good idea. I can see that, yeah, they're in for a bit of trouble. But if you can get word to Drake Hall soon enough, you might have help.
Well, we did actually come across a unicorn, and she's actually been helping us.
His, Alex's tail perks up at this. Just so you came across a unicorn.
Yeah.
And it's actually cooperating with you. Huh.
Actually, hey. Would you believe it's actually talking to me in my dreams?
That?
Yeah, I don't know why it's talking to you.
No.
I don't know either.
Well, there are several reasons I could postulate. But I'll think about that.
I haven't gotten into your mushroom stash, don't worry.
Good. You'd be in huge trouble if you did. Bells don't come cheap, I'll let you know.
No, but yeah, that's kind of where we're headed now. But I think we have a couple of things to take care of first, right, Min?
Yes, at least three.
Like figuring out how to get there?
We were kind of thinking more along the lines of maybe doing some hag hunting.
Hag hunting? What has possessed you to go hunting hags?
We have a new companion, I guess you could say, who has a bit of baggage in her past. That includes three hags that now wish to kill us.
If we take her to Drake Hall, they won't know where she is.
So you took on a new friend, and this friend has hags that want to kill her, and now that you're her friend, they all want to kill you too. My goodness, the kind of people we run into.
Indeed, and
the same hags we met on the river.
Indeed.
You're kidding.
Same ones.
Sometimes I think the universe, perhaps fate herself, is against us.
Feels like that sometimes.
But then she sends people like us.
Well, true. True that. Avalon's finest.
What else could she ask for?
Men, I was wondering, we didn't have a lot of luck the last time we fought the hags. I didn't know if you had any kind of plan in mind for facing them again, or...
I think we will do significantly better if we do not have to fight them in the water.
Ah.
Having Barkas being able to run up with an axe and introduce them to the sharper side.
So we're really going to try to fight them before we leave?
We're going to have to fight them eventually.
Well, wait a minute. You know where they are right now?
They followed us to the outside of the city. They seem to have a way of telling where we are and where she is. I don't think running would be the best option. They will just look for us again.
Really? Did any of you pick up any items or, I don't know, rocks while you were coming in?
No, we were running.
None of you took anything from the hags the first time we fought them?
The body sank into the river almost immediately.
Are you absolutely certain about that?
Well, we did take something they wanted, men.
We did do that. Oh, wait, I believe one of us has a dagger from them.
What?
The dagger from the hag that followed us into the druid vault. Did we leave that stabbed into one of the planks?
I'm fairly certain, yeah. Barkers threw a headboard of a chair and left it there.
Pretty sure. We took it out.
Yeah, we didn't take that. Randy was referring to ball.
Well, if you have anything that once belonged to them, or I don't know, a feather, or an article of clothing, or something.
Or an orc pup?
I don't think she ever belonged to them. I think he is asking for an item that they possessed.
Ah, okay.
An orc pup?
It's a long story.
Yeah, taking care... He suddenly burst into laughter. He can barely contain himself. Randall's a babysitter.
I'm not the one babysitting her. He doesn't even like to talk to me.
And I don't think that it she wasn't would my appreciate idea. That term either.
Oh, Randall, have you gotten good mashing the carrots and the peas together to make the baby food?
Threw a knife at me, and I'm going to do the same to you if you don't be quiet.
Yeah. Min looks kind of stern.
What'd you expect? I'm sorry. I couldn't help myself. Oh no. I'm gonna guess the pup is more like 5 or 6 years old.
Oh, not even close. Possibly closer to 11?
He stops laughing. 11? And you call her a pup?
I wouldn't have called her that myself, but...
I mean, that's what her dad called her.
Probably a term of affection.
Probably. That's a little old for calling someone a pup. Young lady is much closer. Either way. He strokes his beard. From what I understand of these sort of things, most likely either you do have something that belonged to them, or one of them put a spell on you.
And put a spell on us.
Yes. That or they're extremely good at scrying, and they got a really good look at your faces.
Well, they probably know what the orc looks like.
They kind of scryed, or at least looked at Cabal. She mentioned that yesterday.
That and at least 3 of us were fighting them, and not quite melee combat for myself. But they did get quite a good look at us while we were on the river.
Well, it's possible then. A bit more possible to scrying your orc pup.
Indeed.
Either way, yep, I think you're right. You're not going to get away from these hags. They're going to keep coming after you. But the advantage you have is that you, this way, you can determine where it is they're going to fight them. Provided you don't wait too long. They'll probably eventually pounce upon you.
Agreed. And I'd rather take the fight to them before they catch us unawares.
Okay, so I guess we need a battle plan.
Well, unlikely they're actually going to come after you in the city, especially if you stick together. I may be able to help you with that a little bit. Working at the Arcanium gives me access to plenty of research materials and plenty of people who know their stuff. I'm certain that we could find out something to help you against these hags.
Agreed. My thought was we could go out into the forest and then possibly, I hate using Cabal as a type of bait, but I think that she would appreciate being bringing about the end of her own problems. Possibly set up a silent image to act as if it is Cabal making her way to the forest. If they try and grab her, or if they try and cast on it, they will reveal their positions. And then we take at least one down. If we can, then we hunt the rest.
Don't underestimate the power of these hags, from what I understand. Granted, I remember nothing about the hags attacking us, but nonetheless, don't underestimate them. Your plan is not fully without merit. Still, I'd be careful about it. But, as much as I'd love this reunion, I have to get going. I've got to class in just a little while on Bishanti history. Of course, if any of you feel like you'd like to come and hear about the legend of Hali Halim, which I can pretty much guarantee you was an entire fabrication, you're welcome to join me.
Min raises an eyebrow and says, I might have a few things to say about that.
I'd actually like to sit in on a couple of those Basanti lessons, so make sure you brush up on them.
Well, he will get off the stool and grab his books. Well, come along then. Follow me. Arcanium is this way. You should see the hall that they've given me to teach in. If nothing else, it's a grand thing to look at.
Give me a second. I'll catch up with you. I got to talk to Saint real quick. And he's going to go over to Alex and just put an arm on him again and look him in the eyes and say, Alex, really good to see you again, bud.
Really good to see you too, Randall. And not with the eyes of a lizard.
Yeah, that kind of freaked me out.
Freaked you out?
I'll catch up with you guys. I'm going to talk to Saint real quick.
Min, come walk with me. It's been a long time.
Of course.
As they get outside and start walking towards the Arcanium.
Here, hold on to that for just a second. Randy, you needed to talk to Saint. He's up by the counter.
Did.
He's just filling an order for another customer, a student, and turns and looks at you and says, Well, if it isn't Randy, you know, after such a fine show, you all took off. Business has been pretty good since then, but I could certainly use another one.
We have one in the works. We always do. I know Min's been handing out your coasters pretty much every chance she gets.
Excellent. Well, I have plenty more if she's running out.
I'll grab a couple of those, if you don't mind. But I do have kind of an interesting question for you.
All right.
And he holds up his hand. If you'll notice, I've kind of suffered a recent injury, and I'm pretty sure it's going to take me a while to actually gain the full use of this hand again. I was wondering if you had anything in mind or any kind of special drink that could maybe speed up this process.
Well, I could mix something up for you, but you're probably going to have to treat it
over time for true healing. Have you seen a cleric about this? That's really more along their line.
Ah, okay. I just made.
I mean, maybe. Don't get me wrong. I could give you what you need, but it would taste better coming from me anyway.
That's what I was kind of hoping for.
Let me see what I can mix up for you. And he starts putting some stuff together. And he passes you a drink. It's like a shot glass. Very strong, dark blend. No sugar, no cream, just straight. And says, here you go. Try that.
How much do I owe you?
Well, this one is... Since I like you, and you said there's another show coming, this one's only 30 gold.
Randy will put down the 30 gold.
He deftly takes it. And in fact, I take it back. He doesn't take it. One of the unseen servants just sweeps it off into the... behind the counter, and it falls into the register. But then he continues on, and he actually fixes you three more like it.
So, interesting.
Now, take one of these tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after that. That should give you the boost you need over time to be able to make use of your hand while it adjusts.
Right. And Rainey is going to pound the drink and in one swig and then just turn the glass upside down.
Okay. And the other three are corked. They're smaller bottles and they are corked. And each one of those he will sell you for another 40 gold.
Each or?
Each.
All right. He will take them.
Okay. Then if you drink it, you remove the disadvantage for that day. So,
exactly what
you have
for.
To. Yep, but you have to drink it at the beginning of the day. It only lasts for its set period of hours, and after you've slept it off, you're going to need to drink a new one. So, but that should get you through today and then three more days.
Sweet. So that takes care of the disadvantage. I still don't have the weapon focus, though, right?
Nope.
All right. That's perfectly fine. So yeah, Randy will swig it, and he will pay the remaining 120 gold as well.
Excellent. And the unseen servant takes those coins as well. In fact, they don't even touch the counter as you bring the bag out. It's just lifted from you and disappears around the counter as well. So, and Saint smiles and then turns to his next customer. So, continuing business as normal. Alex and Min were going to go on a walk. Did anyone else have a last parting shot thing they wanted to add before we close for tonight? Otherwise, we'll close with their scene.
Brandy will just say to himself, more than just a drink indeed.
All right. Alex and Min, you've stepped outside. You're walking a little bit. What do you say?
Alex, actually, not very fashionably, just kind of casually cast message on Min. That's to make doubly sure that we're not overheard. Min, by working at the Arcanium gives me a chance to do a lot of research and talk to a lot of people with, well, a great deal of knowledge. There's a mountain of knowledge contained in there, more so than I ever realized was when I was a student. And there's been some things I've been working on. Took a long time, though I discovered a spell that makes me move twice as fast. Very handy for last-minute research for a class. But we're working on our dragon problem. I've been thinking about it the wrong way, and I've been concocting a little scheme about, reversing a bit what the captain did, but that's not what I want to talk to you about. You've, things have been difficult for you, I'm perceiving.
Min looks over at him, with a healthy amount of suspicion and says, "In what way?"
"Oh, well, I won't say it directly. Rest assured, I won't mention this to anybody else. But, well, you get to studying different things and talking with people who are in the know. And eventually you put two and two together and you arrive at the number four. And just want you to know, Min, you're traveling with good people. You're traveling with very good people. And I know everything's going to turn out well in the end."
Min looks very hesitant and says, and she looks around, but she knows even that isn't good enough. And she says, "I will take your words to heart, though even good people can make poor decisions at times. And there are some things that even the smallest slippery tongue can lead to great devastation."
And Alex looks back at her. "What? What are you talking about? That's strange.
Broken promises? Secrets?
Huh? I have no idea what you're talking about. What were we talking about? Oh, come on. I have to get along quickly. My students may sleep some time in my class, but at the very least, they're punctual. Let's go." And Alex will very quickly trot forward, acting as if Min hadn't really said anything.
Min looks for a moment, then nods, and follows.
Okay, and with that, we will end for tonight. Good game, everybody. Not probably as much headway as I thought we were going to make, but that's okay. Had a lot to do in town. I've kept you guys out of town for a while, so
yes.
You had a lot to do and a lot of people to talk to, and that's good, too.
A lot of digits to get rid of.
You're in the money.